Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Biblical Christianity is a relationship that is first and foremost vertical between us and God, and then, secondarily, horizontal among one another. Over the next several broadcasts, our pastors from Koinonia Fellowship will be leading us through a series of divine imperatives that should govern the behavior of Christians with one another. One can find the first imperative in the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 of Colossians chapter 3. Forbear one another in love. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola introduces this new series.
Well, today we begin our eight-week One Another series. Probably the best way to begin is to be reminded that our faith in Christ, biblical Christianity, is a relational faith. It is first and foremost a relationship with the Lord, and then it is secondly a relationship with one another. First and foremost vertical, secondly horizontal. What was the reply that Jesus gave to the man who asked him, "What is the great commandment?" Well, the answer is found in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." He's quoting the Shema from Deuteronomy 6:5. "This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And that's taken from Leviticus 19:18. Jesus says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so love for the Lord must be first and foremost. And love for one another is an extension of our love for God. And so closely related is our love for God and our love for one another that the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, "If any man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment," not a suggestion, "commandment have we from him, that he who loves God," who loves God here today? "Love his brother also." See, the overflow of the vertical will be the horizontal. Real biblical fellowship with one another in the body of Christ just doesn't happen on its own. Real meaningful relationships with one another in the body of Christ does not happen in a few hours on a Sunday morning. Real relationships within the body of Christ take time, years, effort, patience, repentance, forgiveness, understanding, a thick skin, a soft heart, and the love that covers a multitude of sins. Real biblical fellowship with one another in the body of Christ demands deliberate interaction with others. And you and I know, if you've been saved more than 30 seconds, that this real and up-close kind of fellowship can get messy at times, can't it? And that's because life and relationships can get messy at times. Real biblical fellowship with one another is rarely a sanitary, sterile thing. The reason should be obvious. It's because of our fallen nature. Everybody here this morning, on either side of the pulpit, gets hurt in the body of Christ for various numbers of reasons. Every member in the body of Christ here this morning has those times when they are dealing with some real personal struggles or struggles with other saints. And the God-inspired way to address those hurts or those differences is found in applying these various one another's. Instead of looking the other way, packing your bags, blowing off steam, or taking matters into your own hands, Abba would say to us, do it my way. Do it the right way. One reason why Christians leave churches is because they fail to apply these one another's. Instead of going to the cross, instead of working things out God's way, they simply take their spiritual baggage with them to another place. And this sadly has become a pattern for Western Christians. Our brothers and sisters who follow Jesus and read the same Bible that you and I read, whether they are in Afghanistan, Iran, or Syria, do not have such luxuries. They've either got to get it right or they're left to the wolves. You see, but we have options. It doesn't go my way. I don't like it. The Bible doesn't tell us anywhere to pack our bags and run. It tells us to fear God, keep His commandments, and submit to one another in the fear of God. That's what the Bible says. Many people claim to want real biblical fellowship. But in all honesty, they really don't want to be bothered. Many want fellowship on our terms and in our time. We want fellowship when it is convenient and as long as it doesn't demand anything from me. We want to be served without having to serve anyone else. But that's not the biblical description of fellowship. That's a description of a spiritual country club where members pay their dues for services rendered. Real biblical fellowship compels us to die to self and reach out to others. And as we work our way through each of these one another's over the next 8 weeks, we need to realize that each one of these one another's are verbs. These are divine imperatives. They demand practical application. They're not just lofty concepts. Each of these one another's are commands that must be applied by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they will take all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And each of these one another's demand that we cease thinking about ourselves and how we feel. We need to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. And I can assure you that each of these one another's, to some degree or another, will strike at the very root of our self-centeredness. No offense if you're watching online, but you can't carry out these one another's if the sum total of your Christian faith is sitting in front of your computer and listening to a teaching online. There's no interaction that way. Some of these one another's, like receive one another or bear one another's burdens, will no doubt jar us out of our social and economic and racial comfort zones. Forgive one another. Whew. That's a big one. Jesus mentioned it a lot. Our forgive one another study will necessitate that we set aside our grudges and the desire to teach the other person a lesson or make them pay for what they did to me and put into practice the 70 times 7 message of forgiveness that Jesus taught us. Now, some of you young people are saying, boy, oh boy, this will be good for mom and dad. Well, it's not just for mom and dad. It's not just for grandpa and grandma. These one another's are for children. They're for teens. And these are things that are to be taught in the home and reinforced in the church. And we need to realize that it's not enough for us to know intellectually or academically what these one another's mean. There has to be application. Let me give you an illustration. For me to tell you that I have a great indoors gym in my family room and then be able to articulate to you how each piece of the equipment is meant to build you up physically. And if I were able to articulate that to you in Italian or Spanish or Hebrew or Greek, that is not equivalent to actually going down there and working out, is it? You may say to me, well, that sounds good, but look at you. And it's very easy to listen to these one another's and agree. They sound good. Well, we need to hold up a mirror and look at the person in the mirror. These one another's are kingdom truths. They transcend cultural, generational, economic, and racial differences. These one another's are non-denominational. And when these one another's are practiced from the heart, in real submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will bring about radical transformational changes on both a personal and congregational level. These radical one another's are really the nuts and bolts for spiritual health in the body of Christ and personal growth in Christlikeness. And they all imply, in one way or another, something about ourselves that each and every one of us knows, but we do our level best to camouflage. You know what that something is? It's this. Each one of us in this sanctuary today are sinners by nature and by choice who are in constant need of the grace and mercy of God. And each one of us here this morning are imperfect and flawed people who possess a fallen nature that is self-willed and self-centered. And even though you and I are marvelously saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, every moment of every day, the spirit and the flesh battle against one another. As you read all of the one another's in Scripture, they reveal to us that at times, you and I can become judgmental and critical of others in the body, especially those who have different convictions than we do. They reveal that we can hold on to grudges and bitterness and find it hard to forgive others as we've been forgiven in the body of Christ. They reveal that we can find it very easy to bite and devour and backbite and tear one another down instead of build one another up in the body of Christ. They reveal that at times we can get easily irritated and impatient with one another in the body of Christ. They reveal that we can talk about those who have needs around us, but somehow we find a way to ignore the needs. And as I was reading over this whole list, not just the eight that you asked myself and Pastor Ben to teach on, as I read over the whole list of the one another's, it occurred to me that we could very easily call this eight-week one another series Koinonia Fellowship Relational Boot Camp, because that's what it is. And each one of these one another's are part of the hourly and ongoing process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man that we are in Christ. And we could say that by applying these one another's, it's really a form of repentance. That ongoing process of repentance and change. Where real repentance takes place, there will always be a change of thinking, a change of attitude, and a change of action towards one another. Jesus gave a teaching about two sons in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 28 through 31. And in that teaching, he says to his sons, go out and work. One says, I won't, and did. One says, I will, and didn't. Who did Jesus say was the son that really submitted to him? The one who did what Jesus said. And that parable of the two sons clearly teaches us that what we do is the only proof of our submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, not just what we say. Genuine repentance is not merely intellectual agreement with biblical facts. Genuine repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart with a determination to do the will of God as He reveals it to us, regardless of the cost. And it is costly. Ever heard the saying, actions speak louder than words? Well, it's true. Never equate hearing a sermon or knowing what the points of the sermon are with putting the message of the sermon into practice. You and I may be great note takers, but are we great note doers? It's not how much we highlight our Bible, color code our Bible, underline notes in our Bible. What do we do with it? Faith without works is dead. To just hear the word and not do it means I'm deceiving myself. And yet, it is not uncommon for a vast majority of people to be content with just hearing what God says, even being intellectually stimulated by what God says, without putting it into practice. There's nothing new under the sun. The prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 33, verses 30-32, God speaking to Ezekiel says, "Also, you son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against." That word in the King James means they're talking about you. "By the walls and in the doors of the houses, they speak to one another, everyone to his brother, saying, 'Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes forth from the Lord.' And they come unto thee as my people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth forth after their covetousness. And lo, you are unto them as a lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." Ezekiel, you are such a wonderful teacher. It's like music to my soul. Great message, Ezekiel. What? You see, this is relative to us today, isn't it? The Bible says that spirit-filled teachers are a gift from God. But the real question is this: are we spirit-filled hearers and doers of the Word of God? Hearing God's Word without faith and obedience is worthless. The people of God were listening to what Ezekiel said as a kind of intellectual entertainment. And don't be fooled. There's a lot of people like that in the body of Christ. "Did you hear this guy? Did you hear this series? Did you hear this teaching? It was wonderful. It was awesome. You've got to hear it." And then what? Then what? You see, people were listening to Ezekiel. He is being used by God to tell them the truth about where they stand before God, and they're being intellectually entertained. That was marvelous. What a wonderful message. Instead of putting what they heard into practice, all they did was hear what he said and talk to one another about how great a speaker he was. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you and me to be great doers of the word, not just enthusiastic hearers, or as Charles Spurgeon, I believe, called some Christians, sermon sippers. Was it J. Vernon McGee? I used to love listening to that guy with that southern drawl. He could get me right between the eyes, and I'd love him for doing it. He says, "I went to one congregation, and I preached, and they sang the word, standing on the promises, and then after, all they did was sit in the premises." In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoso hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So, answer the question. Who is the one who builds his house upon the rock? The one who hears it, hears the word, and does it. Who's the one who builds on the sand? The one who hears, but that's it. You see, one of the great dangers for us who love the scriptures is to think that hearing is equivalent to doing. Let me give you an example. You might say this morning, yes, I agree with the teaching Jesus gave on judging. I shouldn't judge. I need to show mercy. Right on, Pastor Ray. But then you leave here, you immediately turn to someone before you even get into your car, and you start gossiping or analyzing and judging and critiquing. And if you do that, the Bible says you're foolish and your house is going to collapse. These one another's are like fountains of living water. These are for our good. This is Abba saying to you and me, you are prone by nature to drink from polluted springs of how you were brought up. I'm Italian. Of course I can get ticked off. Or you can get so polluted by what the secular psychologists and philosophers say. There's only one expert when it comes to relationships, and that's the living God. Consult the manual. So these are good things. This is Abba saying, come on, Raymond, get up on my lap, listen to me. You need to hear this. We need to hear this. You see, because if we do not apply these truths, we are in great danger of being a foolish congregation who erroneously conclude that because we have heard the truth and agree with the truth, that means that we're doers of it. Now, that's the introduction. The first one another, forbearing one another in love. Paul's pattern of writing is first doctrinal and then practical application. After God tells us what he has done for us in and through Jesus Christ, then he exhorts us to walk in a way that reflects the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4:2, we read that with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, we are to forbear one another in love. J.B. Phillips' paraphrasal writes this: accept life with humility and patience, making allowances for each other because you love one another. The New Living Translation says this: always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. The NIV: be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, note, beloved, the verses that precede and follow this one another informs us that forbearing or being patient with one another is walking in a manner worthy of our calling, verse 1, as well as a vital ingredient in the maintaining of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in verse 3. This is one reason why at the end of this chapter on living out our faith in Jesus Christ in Ephesians 4:32, Paul warns us that our failure to apply these one another's grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And beloved, you and I cannot grieve the Holy Spirit of God and grow. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study his word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.